I like going for a run after dinner every night. When I was in college, I was popular as the bravest boy in our gang. I've always been the risk-taker, adventurous type. I live in a small town, and after my parents' death, I inherited their house. I created an office space for myself. I'm a professional gamer, and I write for a few tech websites. I was completely satisfied with my life until this happened. It was a warm Monday night. After dwelling with huge work pressure, I was dying to go out for a jog. As soon as I finished my dinner, I changed into my running clothes and started on the road. The area where I live is close to an abandoned factory site with dusty roads leading to the woods. After running for 5 to 7 minutes, I reached in front of the abandoned factory and stopped. I remembered my father telling me creepy stories about this factory. Many people in our town used to say this factory had a hidden space to run weird experiments. But one day, a fire broke out, and the entire place burned down. Since then, this plot has been an abandoned location. I watch the black, broken structure attentively. It still risks me to think some crazy people ran experiments here. I shrugged it off eventually and started to run again. I decided to make a round through the area surrounding this factory. This way, I will cover up a pretty big lap, and also going in a circle will help me find my way back home. I looked at my watch and saw it was 10:30 at night. The factory stood right in the middle of the ground. When I came closer to the entrance gate of the factory, I heard a noise. At first, I failed to spot it out, but the more I got to the entrance, the louder the sound got. It was the scream of a woman. My heart stopped right at that second. Did I hear that correctly? But before I could contemplate on that thought, the scream took place again. I turned to the factory immediately. The broken windows and shattered glass signified it had been abandoned for a long time. After a lot of hesitation, I started to walk towards the entrance. The weed-covered ground made it difficult to walk. The sound of wind and crickets chirping nearby gave me serious horror movie vibes. As I stood in front of the main door of the factory, something at the back of my mind kept telling me that I shouldn't be here. I pushed the half-broken door and tiptoed inside the building. A large empty hall stood in front of me. The floor was covered with dust and all kinds of dirt. At the end of the hall, I saw an iron stairway leading to the top floor. But the entire place seemed out of use. I was wondering if I should be going upstairs or not, just when I saw a thin ray of light coming from the floor under the staircase. All this time, I didn't notice it. I carefully walked to the area of the floor. I saw a square lid was placed on the floor. I could easily understand that this lid is nothing but a doorway to the basement area. Now, I've heard enough weird stories about the experiments that used to take place under this factory. I even heard about a secret lab residing under this property. I got down on my hands and knees and lifted the lid to peek inside. I wanted to know what was happening down there. What I saw terrified me for life. There were 6 to 7 people dressed weirdly. They were standing surrounding a cage, and inside the cage stood a gigantic evil creature. Its entire body was black, but its eyes were like lightning bolts. The lights I saw earlier were coming from its huge, bright eyes. The creature kept screaming in a squeaky voice, and the men tried to keep him contained in that cage. Suddenly, my phone rang and the creature looked right at me. I felt like I just went blind for a few seconds. A man said,
"Don't look at the eyes! You must never look at the eyes of SCP-15!
I got up and started to run for my life. It took me some time to adjust my vision, but I didn't stop. When I reached home, I got inside and closed the door right behind me. Since that night, I started to experience some weird changes in myself. No matter how much I ate or worked out, I kept losing weight rapidly. My neighbor, Mrs. Sherman, got shocked seeing me one day.
"Oh my God, Jeremy! Are you suffering from a serious illness?"
"No, I have no idea, Mrs. Sherman," I said in a feeble voice. I went to my family doctor and many other doctors as well, but no one was able to detect what was happening to me. One night, I was sitting in my kitchen having dinner. Suddenly, I saw a black shadow moving in my backyard. My stomach dropped in fear. The door leading to the backyard is right beside my kitchen area. The black shadow rushed towards the door, and I saw the doorknob twisting on its own. I ran to hold the door to prevent whoever was trying to get inside. I almost slammed on the door, and as I looked to the window, a pair of floodlights flashed behind the glass window. It was the same creature I saw that night under the abandoned factory. I was standing face to face with this devil. The only obstacle between us was my wooden door. I knew the door was nothing to this giant. How could he have just followed me? I screamed for help, but there was no one to hear my cry. The dark, evil giant then banged hard on the door. I got pushed with a huge force and fell on the floor. The door broke down in front of my eyes. SCP-15 stood right in front of me. It opened its huge mouth. I saw sharp yellow teeth flashing inside its huge jaw. I screamed because I knew this is probably the last scream of my life, and then fainted on the ground. I woke up in a hospital bed 2 days after the incident. I was shocked to find myself alive. I asked the doctor if anyone found the creature that attacked me. She looked at me with mysterious eyes. "What do you think happened to you, Mr. Smith?" Convincingly, I said,
"I was attacked! That devil attacked me! Didn't any of you see him? He has huge, bright eyes! God, his eyes!"
The doctor said, "Calm down, Jeremy. You were found unconscious in your house. There were signs of a break-in at your back door. Your neighbor came to see you and thought you had been robbed and beaten. That's why they brought you here. Don't you remember any of that?" My eyes stunned in fear. I looked at the window and said, That means he's still out there. It's that time again. Morris looked at me with terrified eyes and spoke. Everyone in the room got silent immediately. The crackling sound of the wood burning in the fireplace created a spooky ambiance. John got up and went towards the bar. Rosie and I exchanged looks sitting on the living room couch. My husband, Morris, and I have invited our friends for dinner. John and Rosie had been our family friends for the last 10 years. I looked at Morris and said,
"Don't you think you're overreacting?"
Morris opened the window in the living room. A gust of cold wind rushed inside the room. The winter nights in Oxfordshire are very cruel. Morris looked outside and stared at the dark valley for some time, then said in a low voice,
"We are the people of Tomby. Oxfordshire are struck with an ancient curse. None of us can deny that."
Rosie said,
"But I agree with June. It's been a long time now. We should forget what happened 12 years back."
I threw some wood in the fireplace and said,
"Morris, close the window. It's really cold, you know."
Morris shut the window and sat on the bar. John poured him a glass of wine and said,
"Do you know how it all started?"
Rosie said in a sarcastic voice,
"Well, it would be fun to hear a spooky story on a chilly winter night, I think."
I laughed and said,
"Yeah, a little story time won't hurt, I guess."
Morris took a sip from his glass and looked at the burning fireplace. He kept staring at the fire for a while and said,
"It's scarier than any spooky story, because it is not a story. It is a true and terrifying incident that happened in this town 12 years earlier. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the poem, Crooked Man. There's a saying in our town that if you recite this poem out loud, you will be subjected to the curse of the Crooked Man. The origin of this poem started from a small house on the outskirts of our town. There lived a man, but no one recalls his name. Everyone addressed him as the Crooked Man. He had a broken back with twisted, broken legs. Out of sorrow and torture of the village people, he committed suicide one day. When the village people broke into the house, they saw his body dangling from a rope tied to his neck. His eyes were wide open, as if he was staring at all of them. Not just that,
Some said that there was a wicked smile on his deadly pale face. His haunting spirit started to attack those who were living alone on a winter night. He used to enter their houses, breaking them into pieces, yet letting them live like a cripple. He's invincible. No one who saw him with naked eyes could ever speak a word. Many people died that year, and then suddenly, he stopped only to return after every 12 years. Since then, he rises from his death and haunts this town. Today is a day where he is supposed to seek revenge on this town. There's only two ways to know that he was there. In a muffled voice, Rose said,
What are those two ways?
Morris looked at us and said, whichever house he targets starts to get cracks on the walls and roof, and from the body of his victims. In a serious voice, John said, actually, my father also told me that this incident did happen. A crooked man haunts our village. I couldn't hold on to my laughter anymore. I almost cried while laughing loudly.
Oh God, what's wrong with the brave men of our town? You can't be serious, come on.
Rose said,
whatever it is, this story is really freaking me out. I wish I hadn't asked you to tell it in the first place.
Morris said, June, my dear, there were people who thought like you, until they became his victim, or someone they know became one. We have to be prepared. There's no way one can defeat him. My grandfather told me if I hear him knock on the door, never answer it. I lost my calm this time. I got up and said,
fine. I will recite the poem out loud right now, and I will show you that this is all a made-up story and nothing else.
Everyone got up in shock. Morris said,
no, June. You shouldn't say his name out loud. It's a curse.
I started to recite the poem out loud.
There was a crooked man, and he walked a crooked mile. He found a crooked sixpence and a crooked style. He bought a crooked cat, which caught a crooked mouse, and they all lived together in a crooked little house. Did anything happen?
I said, after finishing the poem. Morris was looking at the door, frightened. Rose was almost about to cry. John was trying to listen carefully if anyone was walking to the door, but nothing happened. I sat down and said,
see, I told you. Just a spooky story. Now come on, let's have dinner.
At dinner, everyone started to ease up about this story, but my husband didn't say a single word to me. It made me worry that I might have gone too far with my joke today, but I wanted to prove to Morris that he was fearing for no reason. John and Rose left for their house after dinner. I had another glass of wine. Morris read a book for a while, sitting near the fireplace. To break the awkward silence between us, I said,
you know, I was just joking. Don't be mad at me.
Morris looked at me with cold eyes and said,
I better get some sleep. Good night.
I decided to sleep on the matter too. After 1 hour, I got up and walked to the kitchen. I was cleaning the remaining dishes when my eyes went to the ceiling above my head. I saw that a small crack had appeared on it. For a second, my stomach dropped in fear. Has it started already? Did I really summon the crooked man? But then I got back to my senses and realized the house we live in is quite old. Hence, it is natural to see such cracks and damages in the old walls. The clock in the hallway struck 2. I was about to head upstairs just when I heard a soft knock on the main door. Now, my eyes were dizzy. I realized that I was drunk. So with stumbling footsteps, I went towards the main door. I stood in front of the door and said,
who's there?
A whispering sound came from the other side of the door. I asked again,
anybody there?
No reply came. I turned around and started to walk. As soon as I took the first step, someone banged loudly on the door, almost scaring me to the core. I turned around and screamed,
whoever you are, I am not going to open the door!
I then ran to my bedroom in fear. The bedroom door was closed from the inside, but I could hear a muffled sobbing voice, as if someone was gagging in pain. I tried to open the lock, but it was locked from the inside. I banged on the door.
Morris, why did you lock the door?
The crying sound grew louder this time. I pushed the door hard and attempted to break it. The door opened, making a loud thud. What I saw next shook me from the inside. There was a bony, tall, vicious-looking man standing in the middle of the room. He was grabbing my husband by his neck and twisting his arms like a puppet. I could tell that my husband was numb with pain. He was becoming unconscious with every snap of the bone. I screamed at the top of my lungs just when the creature looked at me. Yes, I saw his face. I saw the crooked man. I couldn't save my husband that night. When the neighbors came, they found me unconscious on the floor. Our room was ravaged. It's been a year now since my husband passed away. He remained in a coma for a month and then died in his sleep. I came to know about the secret organization SCP, who are taking charge of capturing this evil creature. I heard they have named the Crooked Man SCP-783. They claim that no one who saw him was left to describe how he looked, but I want to tell him that I saw him that night. If you can please contact me, it's now the mission of my life to catch the killer of my husband and finish him once and for all. I'm a scientist. The idea of how life took place on our planet has always thrilled me. I was studying microbiology at a university in California. In my final years, I applied to work as a research intern in an experimental facility. The institute kept a low profile, but as I started working there, I realized that there was something they were trying to hide from us. My friend Emily and I were both working as interns. We helped researchers in the lab and got a good stipend in return. The learning opportunities were nice too. One day, Emily and I were having lunch in the cafeteria. Trust me, Christy, this place is boring. We should have taken the internship offered by our senior. I mean, he was good looking too, she said while laughing. I replied, come on, stop fooling around so much. I like it here. Emily rolled her eyes and said, that's because you're boring too. We've been friends since the first day of college, so I never cared when she made fun of me, because these things happen between friends. We were chatting and munching on our food when suddenly we overheard a conversation. Okay, we prepared the room for the specimen. You can tell them to bring it here tonight after everyone leaves. I followed the voice and saw two men standing near the table close to us, talking with serious faces. As I noticed the guy who just spoke, our eyes met accidentally. He looked up at me and smiled. Ooh, I think someone likes you, Emily said in a funny voice. Shut up! Eat your food, I replied awkwardly. I looked away immediately and started eating quietly. Within 10 to 15 seconds, the guy came to me and said, Hi, I'm Damien. I'm a junior researcher here. Emily said, Hey, we're working as interns. Nice to meet you, I'm Emily. The guy smiled at her and then said to me, And what's your name? I awkwardly looked at him and said, I'm Christy. Damien smiled and said, Well, Christy, it's nice to meet you. I'll see you around. Oh my god, he is so crushing on you, Emily said. I couldn't help but smile this time. Damien was quite handsome, and since then, we started to get close. And then he asked for my number. We went on a couple of dates, and things were fun whenever we were together. Apart from that, he helped me with my work. I soon realized that he was very passionate about his work as well. His sense of knowledge and wit overwhelmed me many times. One afternoon, I was heading to Lab 203 when I saw Damien standing in the corridor talking to a security guard. As I got closer, I heard him saying, Always check the lock on the door. We all need to be highly cautious about SCP-096. Specimens in any research labs are often titled with certain code names. So, at first, it didn't surprise me. But on our way home, out of curiosity, I asked him, What is SCP-096? Now, Damien has always been a careful driver, but that moment, he pressed the brake accidentally. The car jerked and we stopped in the middle of the road. People started honking horns behind us, We could have been hit by some running car, too, but luckily, nothing dangerous happened.
What in the hell was that?
I screamed in fear. Damien said in a hesitated voice,
I'm sorry, Christy, I just got distracted.
On the entire way, we didn't say a single thing to each other. I stayed back at his place that night. It surprised me that Damien didn't even mention SCP-096, irrespective of me asking about it. Something kept telling me that he was hiding information about this specimen. The next morning we went to work, and I asked him again. You didn't tell me what this SCP-096... Damien smiled as if he completely forgot this entire event, but I could tell that he was being fake. He then said, You know, we sometimes bring various subjects for our research works. This is one of a kind. It's like a microorganism.
Really? Can you include me in this research process? It'll add some extra credits for my specialization paper,
I said. Damien's face turned pale, and he said in a fumbled voice, Okay, I have to ask my seniors, though. Let's see if I can do something about it. So far, whenever I showed interest in a certain project, Damien always included me in that, or at least let me visit the lab room of research so that I can learn for myself. But his mixed reaction disappointed me this time. That day, Damien avoided me and didn't even come for lunch. Emily said, Seems like you guys are having your first couple fights, huh? I exhaled in disappointment and said, I don't know. Since I asked him about the specimen, his behavior changed surprisingly.
What specimen?
Emily asked. I'm not sure. I overheard him warning a security guard about some SCP-96. I replied, Huh. I also heard people talking that there was something secret kept inside a lab in the basement. Emily said, They have a lab in the basement? I asked. Yeah, and some interns told me it's the most mysterious part of this facility. Except for some special researchers, no one's allowed to go in there. Emily replied. I started to think if SCP-96 was just a microorganism, then why is there so much hush-hush about it? Suddenly, an idea came to my mind. Emily and I decided to check the three-storied research institute, just to find if there's a lab kept separately for this mysterious specimen. But obviously, we didn't find any such room. I got sure that whatever this is, it's kept in the lab located in the basement. I came home from work and went to take a shower. When I came back, I saw three missed calls on my phone. It was Damien. I called him back and he apologized. He then came over to my place and we had dinner and things got back to normal. But I had some other plans made already. Emily and I decided to sneak into the facility at around midnight. I knew Damien carries the keys of the lab and main entrance with him all the time. After he fell asleep, I secretly took the keys and informed Emily that I was on my way. All I wanted to know was what the hell SCP-96 was. When we reached the institute, it stood like a haunted place. The pale moonlight and crickets chirping nearby made it even more spooky. We got inside the gates very carefully. We didn't want to attract any kind of unwanted attention. After opening the main gate, we walked towards the basement door. The door stood locked with chains and a metal lock. After 2 to 3 attempts of using various keys, we finally managed to unlock it. As soon as we came down the basement stairs, we realized why everyone was so secretive about this part of the research facility. There was a long corridor, and believe me, there was only one room standing at the end of the corridor. The door of the room had a big caution sign, and under that, a nameplate read, SCP-96, the Shy Guy. It's just some guy? Emily said in a shocking tone. I was shocked too. Damien told me it was some kind of microorganism, but what the hell is going on here? Suddenly, we heard a crying sound coming from that room. We rushed over and Emily said, Hey, are you all right? But no one replied. Only a sobbing voice kept whimpering in pain. Out of disgust and annoyance at the cruel work culture of this facility, I started unlocking the door. I twisted the key and a blue button started to blink right above the door. I was about to press it when Emily stopped me for a second and said, "Christy, I don't know if this is a good idea." I replied, "They're running God knows what kind of insane experiments on a poor human being. So yeah, I think it is a good idea to unlock the door and set him free." Without hesitating anymore, I pressed the button and a huge alarm went off. I realized that I needed to take the key out before pressing the button. It was a clever move to avoid security breaches. Suddenly, a screaming voice appeared behind my back.
"No, Christy! What have you done?"
I turned around and saw Damien standing in the corridor with a horrified face. The door opened, and before I could understand more, I saw a long hand grasp my friend Emily and fling her into the air. She screamed in fear and fell on the floor, making a loud thud. Then, a creepy-looking human figure came out of that room. The humanoid creature had very little muscle mass, as it was suffering from acute malnourishment. Its arms were grossly out of proportion, making it look like nothing less than an alien. I screamed and started to run away. Emily got up and was limping behind me. I saw the creature coming at full speed towards Emily. I ran back to give her a hand, but before I reached out to her, the creature had gotten her. It then did something that I will never be able to forget for the rest of my life. It tore up Emily's hands and legs like a broken doll, and then started to devour her. I screamed and screamed, but the creature didn't stop. I heard it munching on my poor friend's flesh. Soon, a group of 7 to 8 guards rushed downstairs. Damien took me out, and the guards tried to stop the creature from escaping the facility. I guess they were able to contain SCP-96 again. I will never be able to forgive myself for acting like a stupid kid who led her friend to die. Damien and I left the area as the research institute strictly informed us to go underground for a while. Emily's parents were told that she died in a lab accident. I was unable to lie to them, so I left the town and my college. I haven't contacted my parents for a week now, and I don't know if I'll be able to. Even if I do, I have no idea what explanation I'll give them about my miserable life.